Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This may sound familiar from the songs we've sung today. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some more for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and then the door was shut. Later, the young women came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the reading of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. O God, send your spirit to move in our world and stir the water of our souls, that we may desire a word of instruction that awakens us to the joy of your coming reign. Amen. I swear that the happenings at the beginning of the service were not intentional, but I am constantly running late. It's usually only like 5 or 10 minutes, but you can pretty much count on me not being on time for like anything. It's a bit of a joke when I'm scheduled to meet with friends and I text them. My text usually reads, in what will come as a surprise to no one, I am running behind, be there soon. And the main reason that I'm perpetually late is that I am a procrastinator. In school, I would have every intention of starting a paper well before the due date, but I would inevitably be writing, tapping away up until 11:59 when the paper was due at midnight. Also, I have every intention of having my sermons written by Thursday night. And yet, I was still up typing away at, it was after midnight. The other reason that I am often running late is because I have a touch of time blindness. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Sometimes I can't tell if 20 minutes have passed or 3 hours. I don't know if this sermon is 2 minutes or 50. I don't know. it's really difficult for me to estimate how long something is going to take. And maybe none of you can relate to being late, and I'm sure that my lateness constantly causes you anxiety. But I'm certain, I know for a fact, that the majority of you know what it's like to be in a hurry, to be impatient in the face of a delay, to being placed on hold when you're on the telephone, when you're sitting in the waiting room, 30-mile-per-hour construction zones along Route 8, anyone for the last year? And we live in a really fast-paced world. We value fast communication. We value fast travel, getting somewhere quickly, fast food. Even at a sit-down restaurant, we want our food to come pretty quickly. We want fast money. We want our deliveries to come the next day, if not the same day. We've become so preoccupied by speed that there's been a slowness revolution that has occurred. It's a movement, and it's a movement that says yin's better slow down. The early church was in a hurry. They had expected Jesus's return decades earlier, and when it didn't happen, some were disappointed, and others were certain that it could still happen at any moment. It's right on the cusp of happening. And you know what? They had to adjust their expectations. They had to wait. They had to live in faith with courage and hope. And so do we. And that's what our gospel lesson is teaching us today. There are conflicting accounts. I couldn't find an actual standard description of what a wedding in first century Palestine looked like. But the one similarity that I found over and over was that a group of bridesmaids, some say that they were related to the bride, some say that they were related to the groom. This group of bridesmaids would escort the groom into the celebration. And this was a celebration that lasted several days, so that very first part of entering the celebration was important. And the bridesmaids in this parable were waiting for the groom to arrive. The party hadn't started yet. But the groom is taking his sweet time. It's dark. The bridesmaids were prepared enough to know that it was going to be dark, so they had lamps with them. And they light their lamps, and they wait, and wait, and wait. And they wait so long that they all fell asleep with the lights on. The groom is finally spotted. He's on the way, he's down the road, and the young women, they jump up and they go to meet him. But five of the maidens realize that they've run out of oil for their lamps. They didn't anticipate the possibility of the groom being so late, so they didn't bring any reserves. They're unprepared. But the other bridesmaids, they have extra. Maybe they'll share? Unfortunately, no. There isn't enough oil to fill everyone's lamp. All 10 lamps would run out well before the time needed, and everyone would be left in the dark. So the wise bridesmaids make it's a rather unhelpful suggestion that the maidens go to the market and get more oil. And I know, we have some 24-hour markets here today. I don't know how many markets were open at midnight back then. I would guess few, if any. But by the time the foolish bridesmaids come back, the banquet has already started. The doors are closed. They're denied entry. It might be helpful to break down some of the symbolism here. My mom hates symbolism. She doesn't understand why people can't just talk and write in just plain English and say what they mean. But the Bible is full of it. There is so much symbolism in the Bible. And because this is a parable, definitely going to have some symbolism here. The wedding banquet and the bridegroom, those have been used over and over again throughout the Bible to represent the kingdom of God and Jesus. In the Old Testament, the bridesmaids or the bridegroom was Israel, and in the New Testament, the bridegroom is Jesus. And the bridesmaids characterize the church as a whole and all of its people, all of its members. So there are no outwardly distinguishable characteristics of the bridesmaids. They're all dressed for the wedding. They all carry lamps to light the way. They all say, "Lord, Lord," and they all fall asleep while they're waiting. The only reason that we know that half of them were foolish is because we are explicitly told that they're foolish. It's not the looks, the lamp, the long dresses. It's none of those things that can set aside the wise from the foolish. It's their readiness. And we can say that about the church as well. We can't tell from outward appearances who will make it to the wedding banquet and who will not. The oil for the lamps. Oil literally produces light. And it represents the deeds of love and mercy, obeying the greatest commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. When we are responsible, faithful, responsive disciples, we too spread Christ's light. So the wise maidens, they were prepared for a delay. They heard Jesus' teachings and they acted on them. Their lamps were lit with good works that glorify God, and they brought an extra supply of discipleship. The foolish maidens, however, were caught short. They see the groom coming, and they rush around, and they're trying to cram everything in at the last minute. But it's just too little, too late. We don't know when. None of us here knows when. But Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will return in glory to usher in the fullness of God's reign. Matthew's community expected Jesus at any moment. But we're now entering the third millennium of waiting. Yeah, we should certainly be taking the time to be prepared. But we shouldn't be rushing around in a panic. We aren't meant to live in a constant state of alertness. We don't need to keep up with all of the news of all of the places throughout the world and try to find correlations with the book of Revelation. All sorts of people have been trying to predict when Jesus will come again, but spoiler alert, they've all been wrong. Matthew thinks that these prognosticators, they're focusing on all of the wrong things. We don't have to be preoccupied by the timing of the second coming if we're already living faithful lives in preparation. Instead of being kept awake by panicky, last-minute anxiety, yins can slow down. And I know that's really hard to do. We live in this fast-paced world that tells us if we're not constantly doing something, we're going to fall behind. However, being prepared for Christ's return means being faithful to his teachings. And being faithful to Jesus' teachings is really hard to do if we don't take the time to slow down, to read or listen to the gospel, if we don't take the time to pray and to worship, to serve and tend to those entrusted to our care. We can't love our neighbors if we don't take the time to truly listen to them and to their needs. In addition to time, these are all things that demand patience. Ugh, don't ever pray for patience for me, please, because patience takes practice. Patience is something that you cultivate day in and day out. Patience says, yins better slow down. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming. All we can do is be prepared. And we prepare by keeping the extra oil in our lamps, by faithfully putting Jesus' teachings into action every day, by gathering with others who are waiting. And with each passing day, we become more prepared to wait. Thanks be to God. Amen.